What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs on Facebook weekly, which goes about an hour to an hour and a half, and is kind of just everything put together. And we've been covering the Chargers for two seasons now with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. And on today's show, we're going to be doing the second part of us going out and finding people in the industry around the teams the Chargers drafted players from. So on today's show, we're going to be talking to Kevin Trezzolini coming up here in the first segment, a guy who covers football for Delaware and writes for DelawareOnline.com to get a lot of insight into Nazir Adderley, because I know we're all super excited about Nazir Adderley. So let's go ahead and start there, and then we'll end the show by talking about what he had to say and discussing, you know, our favorite parts of the interview to wrap things up at the end. All right, guys, now it's time for the moment we've been waiting for and that we've been teasing all week. We have a sports writer out of Delaware with us today, and that is Kevin Trezzolini, who's a sports writer from the News Journal newspaper and also for DelawareOnline.com, covering the Delaware football program, and has been working with them for 38 years. So I don't think of we could have picked a better guy to do this spot for us. But Kevin, how you doing, man? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, you guys. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you having me, and I'm glad to talk with you. I wish I was sitting out there in Southern California with you, but I'm glad to talk to you from Delaware. Yeah, glad to join you and talk about Nazir, who's a super, super young man.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a little overrated right now because it's actually been a little bit rainy today. But hey, nothing to complain about. But before we get into just everything about Nazir Adderley, I just wanted to talk about the Delaware football program for a second and just tell us about the excitement that comes with a guy from Delaware getting selected as highly as Nazir Adderley and what it means for the program from a notoriety standpoint.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, Nazir, as you guys know, was the 60th pick overall in the draft, second round pick by the L.A. Chargers. I'm still having a hard time saying the L.A. Chargers instead of the San Diego Chargers. I'm sure y'all are doing the same thing out there. But yeah. He was actually the second highest draft pick in University of Delaware history. Wow. You know quite well the highest pick in Delaware history. That's Joe Flacco, the longtime quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, who is now with the Denver Broncos. Joe was the 18th overall pick by the Baltimore Ravens in 2007, and of course was their starter through midway through last season. Now here's an area where Nazir is number one all time at the University of Delaware. Joe Flacco was a transfer. Joe was a transfer from Pitt, who transferred to Delaware, went from the FBS level to the FCS level. Nazir, however, spent his entire career at Delaware. He was here for all 4 years, recruited to Delaware by Delaware coaches, spent his entire career here. So, he is now the highest draft pick among those who were recruited by Delaware and spent their entire career at Delaware. And the person who he has now taken over that top spot for was somebody whose name you will also be quite familiar with. That was Rich Gannon, the quarterback who was the Rich was the 98th overall choice in 1987. And of course, I'm sure you're familiar with Rich. You know, he was kind of a journeyman quarterback until he landed in Oakland and sparked the Raiders to the Super Bowl and was the NFL MVP in 2002. So Nazir is the highest draft pick among those recruited to Delaware originally and the second highest draft pick in Blue Hen history.
Well, speaking of where he was selected, I mean, some pundits out there thought that Nazir Adderley was the highest rated safety in the draft and could have, really been drafted in the first round. So were you surprised that he kind of snuck into that latter part of the second round?
Yeah. I actually thought he might go a little sooner. You know, it was kind of interesting around here because the young man who was chosen by the Green Bay Packers Darnell Savage from the University of Maryland was a kid from the state of Delaware, a local kid from Newark, where the University of Delaware is, who went to high school here in Delaware, was recruited very diligently by Delaware, could have been this year's teammate, but went to the University of Maryland and started as a safety there. He was the first safety chosen by the Packers. I forget if it was 20 or 21. But yeah, so a lot of us did think that Nasir might go a little higher. Again, I'm not a draft Nick. I don't pore over scouting reports, things like that. You know, I don't do a mock draft myself or anything like that. I don't really get too caught up in that kind of stuff. I was just kind of glad to see Nasir get an opportunity. And, you know, it really sounds like he's gone to a place that is a good spot for him. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about, the Chargers and what they have and what they don't have. But from what I've read, you know, it sounds like he's landed in a good place. And the Chargers are certainly getting, you know, a young man with a lot of potential. I think one thing that may have hurt his stock a little bit was, you know, he couldn't do some of the stuff at the he couldn't take part in the combine because he had a high ankle sprain. And then so at the University of Delaware's pro day, which was a mob scene unlike it had ever been before, he kind of pulled up in his 40-yard dash. He kind of tweaked his hamstring. So, you know, those two things might have dropped his stock a little bit and caused him to go a little bit later. I can vouch for this. You know, we're in Philadelphia Eagles country here. The University of Delaware Stadium is a 45-minute drive from Lincoln Financial Field, where the Eagles so we're smack dab in the heart of Eagles country here. And a lot of Eagles fans were really upset that I forget what number pick it was. It was maybe like in the 40s or 50s, you know, before the Chargers got him. A lot of Eagles fans were upset that they did not take Nasir Adderley, because they've got some needs at that position. And he's a Philadelphia kid, and they were pretty familiar with him. So, to kind of get back to your original question, a lot of people were a little bit surprised. He did last that long, but I think the Chargers are quite fortunate that he did, because I think they got a good one.
Yeah, we were all surprised that he fell. We all had him in the first round. We thought if the Chargers had a chance to get him, maybe we get him. And the fact that he fell was amazing. I was one of the guys that made a mock draft. I'm one of those guys that does that. I scouted like 70 guys. But the one thing I can't scout is something that people do outside of football. So before we talk about Adderley's production on the field, can you tell us a little about what Adderley was like outside of football?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know a whole lot of about him outside of football. One thing that's kind of interesting, and I wrote a story about this that came out before Pro Day. He had some issues as a student when he was in high school, and one reason some of the FBS programs said that they didn't recruit him harder was because they feared he might be not up to snuff academically. That he may not be able to cut it academically. And he has said that it wasn't that he was not a good student. He just said he was kind of a lazy student when he was in high school. Well, that ended up kind of being beneficial to the University of Delaware, you know, which is a strong school academically, which does have pretty strong academic standards. What Delaware coaches did when they were recruiting him before his senior year in high school, they really thought that they had a chance to get him. And what they did was they kind of helped get him straight academically. They kind of put together basically an academic battle plan for his senior year in high school that really kind of allowed him to get straightened out academically, get better academically, kind of, you know, make himself a better student. And because of that, by the time he got to Delaware, you know, he was perfectly fine as a student. I mean, I don't think he was a Dean's List kid or anything like that, but he was perfectly fine as a student. He never had any problems with eligibility or anything like that. But you know, sometimes a top flight program, you know, like a USC out there, or you know, a Penn State out this way, you know, might do something like that with a recruit that they think is a really, really top level recruit. No FBS schools were willing to do that with Nasir. I guess they didn't think he was quite that elite of a recruit, but Delaware did that. And they really kind of helped him get straight academically to the point that he was a perfectly, fine student. And it was kind of interesting. The week before, he committed to Delaware fairly early. And the week before signing day, Wake Forest, which of course, is a good school academically, all of a sudden said, "Hey, we want this guy." And he went down there for a visit the weekend before signing day. And Delaware's coaches, who are actually good friends with a lot of the Richmond coaches, with a lot of the Wake Forest coaches, some of whom used to be at Richmond and Delaware's conference, were really kind of fearful they might lose him to Wake Forest. But he stuck with his Delaware commitment, and obviously ended up being one of the most accomplished players in University of Delaware history.
Well, I think that kind of answers some of the questions as to why he wasn't so highly recruited, because there's a lot of Power Five and Group of Five teams that are kicking themselves for not picking up a player of this caliber. But switching more to what he was able to do on the field, he was one of the funnest guys that we watched on tape. I mean, he's just a fun player to watch. He's a ball hawk. He makes big plays. But as someone that covered the team closely, what part of his game is what stood out to you the most?
Yeah, you're right. He really could light up a film. He really could make himself part of a highlight package. This year was just a real ball hawk and just a real playmaker. I mean, I can think of right off the top of my head, I can think of four play, and this is rare for me. I've been doing this a long time, and sometimes it's a little bit harder for me to remember individual standout plays, but I mean, like right off the top of my head, I can think of four plays that he made just in the last 2 years that just made me go, oh my God, that was amazing. And you guys have probably seen some of them, because some of them, in your research, you saw some of them. Everybody around the whole country saw a lot of them, because they made the ESPN Sports Center top plays of the day. Now, one of them was that kickoff return he had this past year at New Hampshire, where Delaware was set up for an onside kick. So he was kind of back there all by himself. Well, New Hampshire didn't onside kick it. He gets the ball, and you kind of think, okay, well, he's going nowhere, because they're just coming down and he's got no protection. Well, the first guy who greets him, Nasir, just basically knocks him over and then runs 92 yards for a kickoff. And it was like, oh my God. And aside from that, just some of the interceptions he made, one-handed, acrobatic, how did he do that, catches. One was at Towson his junior year, and then he had a couple of those this year when they played down at Richmond. Just incredibly gifted athletically, could really get the ball, had hands like glue, would get his hands on it, and was just somehow able to hold on. And, you guys may have seen the statistic that he was the only player at the FCS level to have at least 160 tackles and 9 interceptions over the last 2 seasons, which is pretty prolific.
Yeah, I mean, that 1,000 interception is one of the best interceptions I've ever seen. I mean, just that.
That was probably my favorite. Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that out of defensive backs really ever. I mean, yeah, just the way he's able to contort his body in there, and then to see what he is able to do with the ball in his hands on that kickoff return was just like, hey, he had like 2 kickoff returns the whole season, and one of them went 92 yards for a touchdown. It's just really hard to believe, I mean, what this guy's been able to do. But we do have a few more questions come up in the next segment, continuing to talk about Delaware's Nasir Adderley, coming up right after this. All right, back here with Kevin Tresolini from the News Journal and DelawareOnline.com, covering Delaware football. Here with a few more questions about Nasir Adderley, sticking with what he was able to do on the field, and specifically the criticisms. David, I know there was a couple of questions about some of his game. What do you have for Kevin?
As Daniel said, there were some questions out there that maybe he didn't have the type of coverage range that you were looking for in a starting caliber NFL free safety. What kind of, what's your response to those criticisms, and do you think that they're valid?
Well, you know, again, I don't really. I'm a sports writer. I'm not an NFL scout, an NFL coach. I don't sit around and look at film and stuff like that. You know, if that's what people think, if some people notice that, then I'm not gonna argue with that. One area that I would be a little bit more kind of likely to wonder about is the tackling aspect. There was one game where his coach actually kind of pulled him on the sideline and gave him some tackling lessons. That was also the game down at Richmond this past season. And when he was kind of rising on everybody's draft list during the winter, I was speaking to some people who, you know, have some ties with some NFL people, and you know, one thing I had heard was that there was some concern about that among some NFL observers, you know, the people who break down the techniques and the skills of these guys. In terms of cover, you know, he did play cornerback his first 2 years at Delaware before switching to safety. He does have experience in kind of more of that, you know, I'm on this guy, you know, kind of stuff, as opposed to the, you know, kind of more rangy playing center field safety type stuff. So, yeah, I mean, if some people have observed that, I would certainly not, you know, not doubt that that's something he probably does have to work on. Sure.
Well, talking about working on stuff, he got drafted out of an FCS school. And to do that, it takes a lot of a tremendous work ethic and a lot of hard work, just even in the classroom alone. I heard that guys in the FCS are the guys that didn't have the grades to make the FBS, but they still had the talent. So can you talk to us
I'm gonna argue with you on that one, because FCS schools and FBS schools have the same NCAA academic requirements. After that, it's just up to each particular school, you know. But FCS and FBS schools, you know, they're, you know, the NCAA academic requirements are the same for each. After that, you know, there are certain schools that it might be easier to get into than others, but between FCS and FBS, it's the same. There's no difference.
Can you still talk to us about how hard Adderley had to work to get where he is, even if it's the classroom or on the field?
You know, he's certainly a diligent kid. You know, he had to work hard to become the player he is. I would not doubt his work ethic whatsoever. Delaware has had a lot of kids make the Senior Bowl in recent years. You know, he's one of a run of them, you know, that has lately. And I think the fact that he did a good job there was probably a good sign, and certainly helped his draft status there. But I mean, I've never heard of anybody questioning his diligence or anything like that. I have no idea what his grade point average was at Delaware or anything like that, but I know he was always eligible, didn't have any issues with that, but you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, when you're in the NFL, you know, you've got to be diligent every day, and you got to play as if your job is on the line every single day, because it is, you know, even, you know, whether you're a free agent guy or the 60th pick in the, you know, in the draft. And from what I know about Nasir, I think he'll be somebody who's up to that task.
So from what I could tell, it looked like Nasir Adderley was one of the first safeties ever to be taken out of Delaware. Can you kind of talk about that precedent of a player like him at that position?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Delaware is one of the historically strong FCS programs. You know, they've won six national titles in their history at their level. Delaware has a long history. A lot of it comes from that being the place where the Delaware Wing T offense was born. Not run much anymore, except on the high school level, but three straight Hall of Fame coaches in Bill Murray, Dave Nelson, and Tubby Raymond from the latter half of the 20th century. So, you know, the name Delaware football does, you know, carry some weight in the college football world. You know, in terms of NFL prospects, I mean, you know, guys don't go to Delaware because they think they're going to jump to the NFL because they're at Delaware. But there are seven or eight players in the NFL now from Delaware, some who were drafted, some who were there as free agents, You know, Nick Boyle, tight end for the, you know, for the Ravens, Joe Flacco, who I mentioned, you know, Mike Adams, speaking of safeties, Mike Adams was the captain of Delaware's 2003 national championship team, its last national championship team. He was an undrafted free agent, signed with the 49ers after the draft in 2004, just completed, I guess that would have been his 15th season in the NFL with the Carolina Panthers. He's been an all pro a couple times. So, you know, there's always an opportunity for guys. Paul Worrell now with the linebacker now with the Eagles. He's played, let me see, about five or six seasons. You know, so there are, you know, there have been guys from Delaware who, you know, had very successful and long NFL careers, some drafted, some not drafted, you know, including a couple defensive backs such as Mike Adams. So we'll see. I mean, Marcus Burley was another kid who was a D-back who spent some time with the Seahawks and the Jaguars and the Browns. I think it was the Colts for a little bit too. So, you know, again, it's not, you know, the University of Delaware is not an NFL factory, but, you know, there are some guys in the NFL, and I'm sure there will be more. And Nasir certainly brings a lot of attention to the University of Delaware because, as I said, he is, you know, he is the second highest draft pick in school history.
Well, to finish up this interview, there's an interesting fact about Nasir. His cousin is Herb Adderley, who is a Hall of Fame defensive back for the Packers, who had a pick six in Super Bowl II. How big do you think that is for him to have a family member that's been through the NFL and gone to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, it's a huge thing. I've spoken to Nasir about that, and I've spoken to Herb about that. It means a lot to Herb. I'm old enough that I saw Herb Adderley play, and he was an incredible football player. He has really enjoyed seeing Nasir reintroduce the family name to football fans around the country. So here's how they're related. Nasir's grandfather, with whom he was very close, and died I have in the story somewhere. I forget, maybe like 7 or 8 years ago. He and Herb were first cousins. So, you know, there's a big age difference there, but that's how they're related. Over the last, you know, since Nasir's grandfather died, he and Herb have gotten especially close. They speak regularly. Herb has been to some of Nasir's games, and Nasir draws a lot of pride and inspiration from that. And I think that is something that has helped elevate his game. And I think now that he's in the NFL, it will continue to do that. I think he wants to continue to make his famous cousin Herb proud, and I think he'll do that out there.
It's just such a cool thing to, you know, have your one of your cousin or someone that you're related to and talk to a lot and frequently. It's just so cool to have somebody who's actually been through it and made, you know, the transition and jump from college to the NFL levels. Just such a cool story and start of a pretty good football bloodline, I think. But Kevin, I think that wraps things up for today. We really appreciate you coming on. That was just really awesome to get an inside look. Obviously, we didn't make it out to any Delaware football games this season. We'll try to next season. But thank you again for really coming on and giving us your insight. We really appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, guys. Really enjoyed talking to you. And listen, you know, make sure you get to know Nasir. You'll enjoy him. He's a nice young man, and I think you'll enjoy watching them play for those Chargers.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. The fans are really excited about it, and I know they're excited to get this insight. And you guys, you can follow Kevin Tresolini on Twitter at Kevin, Tresolini. If you want to find anything Delaware, you just go to Kevin Tresolini on Twitter. And thanks again, Kevin. We'll talk to you later, man. Hopefully we're talking, you know, next time this year to talk about how happy we are that we drafted Nasir Adderley.
Sounds great. Nice talking to you guys. Take care.
All right, guys. That was really fun. I'm glad we got to do that with Kevin Tresolini. Thanks again to him for coming on and giving us that great insight of Delaware football. But let's go ahead and get into the most interesting things that we heard in that interview. I have a few that I thought were pretty cool. But, John, what was your favorite part about that interview, and how did it make you feel about Nasir Adderley?
I loved hearing about how Adderley is related to Herb Adderley, because I remember when we were talking about on the podcast, Wade was saying he doesn't even want to think about how they're related or what trail leads to that. And now we know.
Yeah.
I also liked hearing about what he did around campus to get ready for football and how he was recruited and why he wasn't recruited to an FBS school. It was a lot of cool stuff that you don't get to see when you're scouting out players.
Yeah, like I said in the interview, it's not like we made it out to any Delaware football games, but it was cool, David, just to, you know, kind of hear about his lineage, hear that he talks to Herb Adderley, you know, frequently. I didn't know that part of it. I didn't know that he wasn't recruited due to his, you know, teams thinking he might not be able to have the grades to make the cut on the team. But David, what did you think about the interview? How did it make you feel about Nazir Adderley?
I'm excited. I mean, I think overall, it just seems like he's a good young man. I mean, he kind of reminded me a little of myself when I was in high school. I was a pretty bad student. It was never that I was stupid. I was just very, very lazy. I just didn't want to do some of the assignments. That's just as simple as it was for me. It was never like it was hard. It's just I had other interests. So kind of seemed like, you know, I could relate to Nazir in that respect. But also, I found it really interesting that Delaware went out and helped Nazir Adderley become a better student, like got tutors for him and got his grades to a level to where it would be acceptable for him to go to Delaware. So to kind of get that kind of inside knowledge about that type of situation, I thought was really fascinating.
Well, yeah, and then especially fascinating because basically the other FCS programs didn't want to do that. You know, they didn't believe it that he was an elite enough prospect to really put that due diligence in and have him become a better student to have the grades to make it to a program like Delaware. And then once he got the grades, kind of tried to start being recruited by Wake Forest, who is obviously an FBS school and a Division I school and a Power 5 team. I mean, that was really cool. For me, I thought it was cool just to hear about the history of players and really how rare it is for them to have somebody of this caliber, John. I mean, you heard a lot of quarterbacks. You heard Joe Flacco, who was a transfer. Then you have Rich Gannon. I think he said 98th overall. But it was cool to hear, you know, how unprecedented it was to have a defensive player and a guy that played all 4 years at Delaware getting drafted as highly as he did and being really the highest draft pick ever of a guy that actually went there and stayed there all 4 years.
Yeah, it's a really amazing story for someone that didn't go to a big name school and is making history at his own school as far as becoming the first player to do something as far as being a 4-year player that gets drafted and being the highest drafted after 4 years. There's so many things that he can do, and now he's in good company because he's got names like Joe Flacco and Rich Gannon, even Nick Boyle, who's a tight end for the Ravens, who's doing pretty well. He's got good names, so if he can live up to those names, you'll have maybe a Hall of Fame career, maybe at least a Pro Bowl career. There's a lot of things that can go positive for him now.
Yeah, exactly. Another guy is Bilal Nichols, the defensive tackle that went out a few years ago. He's had a pretty good NFL career so far. And yeah, it's just cool to see, you know, a guy like that kind of slip through the cracks and then slip to the Chargers in the second round. That was another interesting thing, was just, you know, Tom Telesco, I mean, referenced it saying, hey, we got lucky that he tweaked his hammy at his pro day and had him fall to us, because without that sequence of events happening, there's probably no way that he makes it to the Chargers at 60. So I think that we got a hell of a player. I think that the Chargers fans should be very excited to see what this guy can do on the NFL level. And the sky's the limit for him and Derwin James. So really excited about him. Really excited about the interview. Thought that it went extremely well. And I feel like we know a lot more about Nazir Adderley because of it. And then on some of the next shows, we're going to keep trying to reach out to other coaches and media members that cover these teams the Chargers drafted players from. So definitely keep an eye out for that. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. If you don't already, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, where we post our Chargers domination live on Facebook, so you can see us doing a live show as well. And also make sure to subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever you get your podcast from, and you can get the show out before everyone else does. And if you haven't already, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line to tell us what you thought about that Nazir Adderley interview. And you can do that by calling 323-524-7924. We're planning a voicemail show soon, so make sure if you want to get on that to call into 323-524-7924. All right, guys, we have some more stuff to talk about later on in the week, so check back in with us in a couple days, and we'll have a brand new show for you guys. Thanks again for listening. We will talk to you guys later. Take it easy and go Bolts.